These are the concluding lines of this prayer of Jesus in chapter 17. And we have Friday and Saturday, where we'll be taking up chapter 21, the last chapter of the Gospel. These words introduce us into the Trinitarian rhythm of the life of the Church. The Church is alive with the life of God. We are all living. Theologians will say that sanctifying grace is a share in the divine life. I've mentioned this before, how God the Father once told Catherine of Siena, if you saw one soul in the state of grace, you'd worship them. You'd think it was me. And we walk around with this. You know, you get online at the grocery store, you can't tell who's got the state of grace and who doesn't. But God does. So lifting up his eyes, they continue the prayer. I pray not only for these, but for those who will believe in me through their word, through the last 2,000 years, that they may be one. Now, what kind of oneness is that? You see, in a little while, we're going to have this notion, I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. The glory that the Father gives the Son is the radiant, infinite power of his love. That's the doxa. And here we hear, I gave them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. And we have once again this Trinitarian rhythm. As these texts open up for us, my friends, they take our breath away. Not only that God is like this, but that he's told us that he's like this. That we can know this. You know, the radiant glory of his love. You see, how are the Father and the Son one? The Father, from all eternity, gives himself to the Son in love. See, what is love? See, love is the gift of self. That's love. A little bit of love, a lot of love, it's the gift of self. Now, you know, we're confused because, well, we got emotions that are out of order, we got wills that are out of order, you know. Once in a while we pull off an act of love. But it's to move us into this life, you see. The glory of God is love. The Father totally giving himself to the Son. The Son totally giving himself back to the Father. And the Spirit totally giving himself to both and binding them together. That's who God is. And now Jesus is saying, that's the way I want my church to be. Can you imagine? You know, if it were anybody else but Jesus, he'd probably blot the whole thing off the globe and start again. When are we going to love like this? I in them and you in me. Now we've seen this before, this rhythm. You see, you in me, because everything I have is from you. I in them, because everything they have is from me. including you. Now, just as the Father pours himself out, you know, this love. Well, the Son of God, the Word of God, the recipient of that total outpouring by which he is, came among us. And he pours himself out. The difference is this. We have bodies. And so he wants to pour himself out, even body-wise, into us. And that's the Eucharist. I want to be part of you. I want to give my whole self to you, including my body. And that's the Eucharist, you see, which is the Sacramentum Unitatis, right? It's the sacrament. I in them, and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one. That the world may know that you sent me, and that you loved them even as you loved me. Imagine if the church were one. Imagine even if our hearts were broken, that it isn't one. Who's going to point the first finger? You started it. Who cares who started it? Reminds me, you know, John the 23rd was a remarkable man. He was meeting with the leader, the head of all the Methodists in the world. And he said to him, "How long do you think it's going to take to bring unity back to us?" And the man said, "Well, we've been divided for 400 years. John the 23rd said, "All right, so between you and me, it's finished, okay? We're one." You see that love? You see that? We have so much to go. There have been great saints and beatified people who gave their whole life for church unity. Not because church unity is the best way to run things, probably is. It's because church unity reveals God. You see? So does community unity. So does family unity. You see? Father, they are your gift to me. And we know this. This is chapter 6. We did chapter 6 a couple of weeks ago, right? I wish that where I am, they also may be, that they may see my glory that you gave me, which is the Father's whole being. Now we can catch a glimpse of that now. But this prayer is fulfilled when we see God. Because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And you see what that line does? Sort of draws back the curtain. There's the Trinity. Love from all eternity. Not three nice people who like each other. Three divine persons who are, by constitution, love. You see? Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you. And they know that you sent me. So they're on the way into this rhythm. See? I made known to them your name and will make it known. What name did he make known? Father. And not just the name, the reality. His greatest joy, you see, is to bring us into living experiential knowledge of the Father. And that is the work of the Blessed Spirit, right? In the power of the Spirit, we pray, Abba. Well, we could say Abba, Abba, Abba all day, but that's not what's going on here. This is a revelation of the Father. I have made known your name. That's his name, Father. There is no other name. Because Jesus, the Word, sees him. He's my Father. That the love with which you loved me may be in them. Now think about that. Who does that? The love with which the Father loves the Son. The only love there really is may be in them and I in them. Those are the last words of this prayer. Do you see why we're called, we're challenged to give up self and move? This is what's held out to us. And you see, it happens at many different levels. Ecumenism is one. But deeply, you see, there is one church. And then the world will believe. So what is Satan's primary tactic? Divide.